Go ahead, start again.
Okay, so I just wonder what the difference is between being humiliated and being humbled. And is, if a person feels humiliated, is that more his problem due to his pride, or could it just be that he's completely innocent and the person who's humiliating him is completely in the wrong?
Well, to humble someone is doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to become humble just because you humble them. It means that, you know, you point out to them either the error of their ways, or you put them in their place. So, but that doesn't mean that they're going to become humble from that. That's part of the process of becoming humble by hearing from others. Humiliating is, I guess, when you humble someone beyond what they can even accept, and that becomes counterproductive. They're no longer, it's no longer going to inspire them in spiritual life. And generally, you conceive of the concept of humiliation as some kind of public affair where it's before others and makes them, ridicules them. I guess the word ridicule is a good one, where you ridicule people in the presence of others. So there's a difference, and there's one example that comes to mind is Prabhupada is about to chastise a disciple, and then he says, but before he does, he says, don't mind. He says, I'm going to do this. So, in other words, Srila Prabhupada recognizes that devotees have their limitations, and he prepares them so that they feel that you're doing something for their welfare, not that you're just doing something in order to put them in their place without consideration of their welfare. How people react, of course, that's another thing. Someone may think I've not been fairly corrected. They may take it that I've just been humiliated instead of being humbled. But considering that, the question is generally in relevance to conditioned souls, then we need to take those type of conditions and methodologies into consideration. So there's different ways of correcting people. You can correct person, and this is the person who's correcting. You can correct person being in the mode of goodness, and you can correct a person being in the mode of ignorance. If you're in the mode of ignorance and you're correcting someone, even though you may be right, the methodology will generally much vary from someone who's in the mode of goodness. And we should do things in the mode of goodness so that we're actually humbling someone. We're helping them become humble, because sometimes you need external feedback without necessarily feeling that they've been humiliated, that they feel that they've actually been blessed, they've been assisted in their spiritual life. They haven't just been put in their place in such a way that is not in consideration of their spiritual benefit. Does that sort of make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that could be also a question of how extreme, if it's too intense beyond the person's ability to take it, then it becomes counterproductive. So
yeah, that's what conditioned soul means. You have to see how much how much can this person take, what's good for them, and then of course ultimately we're also dealing with Vaishnavas. You have to be very respectful, even if you're correcting Vaishnavas, like Srila Prabhupada would say. He gave the example of both Jagannath Mishra and his father, that before they would correct their sons, Jagannath Mishra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada's father, before he corrected them, he said, "Don't mind." He says, "This is my duty, and I'm going to either correct you or spank you or something." So, and even then, it's done, as I said, in a mode of goodness.
So, what's the remedy if somebody feels humiliated? How should he deal with that? Should he just see that that's something he has to work on, or does he need to go and give some direction to the person who he feels humiliated in? Or did,
Maybe. Depends on the circumstance, and communication is always a good thing to do, to clarify things. No harm in it. Do you know what? Why not garlands? Do any garlands come? Okay, what else?
I just wondered if sometimes you could use the excuse. You could use the excuse that because I'm a broken plate, I've had my faith broken by a previous spiritual master, therefore I can't be pushed anymore to the same degree that somebody that's not had his plate broken. Would that be valid, or is that philosophically incorrect?
Most hát kész a lányok, most hozzák.
Okay. It may be maybe reality, whether it's something valid or not. Someone may feel like that. I'm thinking, like, for instance, in an army. In an army, there are better, higher and lower qualified sergeants, lieutenants, captains, what have you, all of these people. And yet the degree of allegiance, the degree of what you're meant to do, has to be the same for everyone, whether you've gone through good experiences in the past, bad experiences in the past. In other words, armies only work on one level of functionality and obedience, following orders, and so on. It can't be that some soldiers are inspired, others aren't inspired, and some do this much and other people do less. Everyone has to go all out in the same way. So when they say charge, you can't say, "Well, how do you know what you're doing?" They can have their freedom of choice by heading the other way, but the result is that to see whether that had any validity, they're going to be court-martialed. So you may not be as enthusiastic, but for a Krishna consciousness movement, for an institution to work, and that's what we are, and to then whatever your level of inspiration, the commitment or the work ultimately has to be the same. In other words, doing one's duties has to go on nevertheless. And what the internal thing is, that's all right. But as in an army, you know, you got to keep your internal thing to yourself. But the external has to go on. And why? Because it's the army that's important. It's the mission that's important, not the individual. In the same way, it's guru or not guru, but ultimately there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's Srila Prabhupada, there's Krishna, there's the Krishna consciousness movement. That hasn't changed. That hasn't let anyone down. And that's the greater vision. Even if the immediate authority who's meant to be Sakshad Hari, who's meant to be a representative, even if he's gone, or even if one feels betrayed, but ultimately what's changed in the greater picture? Nothing's really changed. The homeland still remains the homeland. The principle of defending, I'm just talking about the soldier, remains the same. And you have to do that, just knowing that in that sense the principle is more important than the individual consideration. And of course, for us, in Krishna consciousness, then there's the additional protection of yoga kshema bahamyaham, on like a state or something like that. Then we know that Krishna's there, and we just have that faith that, all right, even though it's not happening there, but Krishna will take care of us. He'll fill in what it is, whatever it is that I feel is missing, and that's a very wonderful thing, an important thing. And of course, that type of, why is it that armies are so strict, or why is it that we should follow the army system, which is what Srila Prabhupada also emphasized over and over again, because you may have a valid reason for not being so enthusiastic, but someone else may not have a valid reason. Who's to determine? We have to go through a process, a judicial process, every time some decision or sometimes some instructions made. You can't have a business like that. You can't have an army. You can't have a Krishna consciousness movement. So people need to do the needful, and then just like in a court martial, you can appeal. Similarly, if you really feel that things didn't happen properly, all right, you can appeal that. But in the meantime, everything has to go on, enthusiastic or non-enthusiastic. And that's what Srila Prabhupada would also write to his followers. He says, when I come, I'll look into it. In the meantime, follow your temple president, GBC. Hare Krishna.